Healthy hair and skin are so important for your overall wedding day look. Today, we have expert advice on all the do's and don'ts for picture-perfect hair and skin. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 17, and I'm coming at you every Wednesday answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. If at any point you felt overwhelmed, stressed, or completely clueless planning your wedding, then you are definitely in the right place. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a huge learning curve you're facing. And so my goal is to give you all the easy to follow tools, advice, and educational tips you need so you can plan your wedding easier and quicker, and definitely more confidently in knowing that you're making the right decisions. Now, if you're a first-time listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thank you once again for taking time out of your day to be with me. Today, we're going to be talking about how to get your hair and skin wedding day perfect. And to help us do that, we have on the show a leader in sustainable beauty. Her salon has been named one of the top 200 salons in America, not once, not twice, but 7 times by Salon Today. And she's been recognized not only for her green business philosophies and practices, but also her philanthropy, raising thousands of dollars for her community and organizations across the country. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Rebecca Lee, owner of Bella Lucci Salon, located in Poughkeepsie, New York, right in the heart of the Hudson Valley. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Felicia.
I'm really happy to have you here because you have been doing bridal hair and makeup for a long time. You have become a trusted leader in the hair and beauty industry. And, you know, we talk about hair and makeup for weddings. And, you know, every bride and groom wants to look their best on their wedding day. So before somebody even does their hair or makeup, they kind of have to have a foundation first. And so why is having beautiful, healthy hair and skin so important in relation to the overall wedding day look?
I mean, ultimately, it just boils down to everyone should have healthy skin and hair, but especially for like the wedding day, because in photos are very unforgiving in some respects. So there's so many photographs being taken that when your hair is compromised, if it's been overprocessed or if it's not had a fresh haircut, it's harder for the stylist to make it lay smooth. It's harder for the stylist to kind of compliment your hair and hide those, you know, challenges without it being fresh and beautiful. I mean, for the men, it's something that they probably don't always maintain their haircut. So getting a fresh haircut right before the wedding ends up maybe a tan line if it's in the summer wedding and they've had a longer hair and they've been outside and then they get the fresh haircut and then they have tan neck and face. So it's just like little things that you don't really consider until you're like, oh, it's like the day before my wedding and I didn't get a haircut or I need my color done or, you know, those kind of things. So it's just always nice, I mean, in general, to maintain your hair and skin, but like if you're maintaining it prior to your wedding, then your makeup lays so much smoother and your hair just lays so much smoother, and it just makes it overall, for memory's sake, that, you know, your pictures are more pristine you know, to kind of reflect on later.
Yeah. And it's so important because I feel like perhaps maybe hair and skin is sort of like an afterthought. Like, you know, it's something that's not necessarily kept up throughout the year, but then as soon as like somebody knows they're having a wedding, or maybe it's, you know, a couple months out, then people start to get really serious about it. But it's something that really should be done every day, regardless whether you're getting married or not.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, even if you're growing your hair out, it's really good to be in the routine of trimming the ends to keep it healthy. A lot of people think that if they're growing their hair for their wedding and having long hair for their updo, but really, I mean, for an updo, you only need it to really be like shoulder length. Once you start getting like super long hair, it actually makes it more challenging to create the style that you're looking for. So it's better to, you know, keep maintaining that healthy hair. It makes the updo much more smoother, or downdo, depending on what you're looking for. But especially if it's a downdo, it's much harder to hide any of those flaws that may have come up without having proper maintenance throughout the year.
Yeah. And I was one of those brides that wanted to grow my hair out for my wedding because I did sort of like a half up, half down look. So I grew it out. And it's amazing now, like when I look back at those pictures, I was like, oh my God, like how did I let it get that long? Because normally if it's past my shoulders, I just like, I can't handle it anymore. And so now like I'm just wearing my hair in a ponytail because it's just gotten way too long.
Yes.
And I can't deal with it. So I'm amazed that I let it grow as long as I did.
I think that's like an interesting point that you brought up, because I feel like for our wedding day, we have like all this anticipation of what we think we need to look like or how we want to look. And I find like my best advice in that scenario, of course, having that healthy hair and healthy skin, is just to really be yourself. Like if you're somebody who's always in a pony or a bun, then wearing an updo is going to be very comfortable for you because you see yourself without your hair around your neck all the time. But if you're somebody that wears your hair down all the time, having an updo may make it uncomfortable for you all day, or you may not enjoy the photos of yourself because you look totally different than what you typically look like. And same with makeup. If you're just a lip gloss girl and you end up with like fake eyelashes and red lips and, you know, and you really do the glam, it may not feel like you, and you may end up, you know, in that moment being like, oh wait, this is not what I look like. And so I do feel like it's something to consider, is that the look that you want on your wedding day also complements yourself, so that you're just enhanced, but not necessarily different.
That's a really good point, because I feel like a lot of people maybe want to be different on their wedding day. But, you know, really, if you're true to yourself, the more comfortable you're going to feel, the more confident you're going to feel and look. So really being true to yourself is so, so important. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with like looking at pictures of maybe different styles to try them, because you never know, you might like them, but it's really important to just stay true to who you are and what's comfortable for you, because you're going to be in this look all day long. And it's, you know, one of the most important days of your life, and you want to be comfortable. You don't want to be somebody that you're not.
It's so true. And you know, that just made me think of the long hair too. When people want updos, sometimes it can be heavy.
Oh, true.
Like depending on what kind of hair texture you have, like I have a lot of hair. So if I was to grow my hair really long and put it up, it's actually going to be a weighted hairdo. So that's something to think about. Like you're going to be all day in this look. You want to be comfortable at 9 o'clock at night and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's just little things like that, that you don't really think about, because the glamour of the day should be there, but it should be to enhance who you are versus changing it completely.
Now, what are some things that people could do at home to nourish their hair or their skin to make sure it can be the best?
Yeah, I mean, as far as skin goes, it's just pretty much out there for several years now, but it's really just the best thing for you is you need SPF on your face. SPF comes in so many forms anymore, and there's very specific facial creams that have SPF, you know, protection in them, but that's the number one anti-aging, and it's the number one way to keep your skin healthy. So for sure, SPF. The other thing that people don't consider that is something that's really important is to exfoliate. There's so many exfoliators on the market, but you want to stay with ones that are gentle, So I think that people feel like to exfoliate, you need to have that physical texture of exfoliation. And so there's a lot of exfoliants out there that have like maybe ground up walnut shells, and that's actually compromising the layer of skin. So you want to find a more gentle exfoliator. Sometimes they're even like salicylic acid can be an exfoliator. So sometimes it's just a liquid where it's not a manual exfoliation, but that's super important to do like once a week. You don't want to over exfoliate because that can bring its own challenges. And then moisturizer. You have to wear moisturizer. If your SPF has it in your moisturizer, great, because it's one less step. But really, if it doesn't and it's just an SPF, always put a moisturizer on and then the SPF on top of it. You know, you do the most healing while you're sleeping, just for your entire body, your brain, your cells, everything. So wash your face before you go to bed and then put on a nice moisturizer before you go to bed is going to make a big difference in keeping your skin healthy. And as far as hair goes, that is really very personal. So some people just need moisture, and moisture is going to like kind of put that fatty acids back into your hair. And some people need hydration. It's just parched. And that's going to just literally like drinking a glass of water for your hair. And some people need protein, and it's hard to know what you need. So if you are experiencing challenges with your hair where it's breaking or you have a lot of split ends, that's a protein, generally speaking, that's a protein. So if you look for products that have protein and moisture, because you need to have that balance to make the protein work. But if you feel like your hair is just dry, you're not a big colorer, you don't really do a ton to your hair, you're not a big blow dry or curling iron, but you're just not feeling lush and shiny in your hair, it's probably a moisture hydration. So that can come in forms of shampoos and conditioners and treatments. So maintaining that, but really the most simple advice I could give that fits everybody is don't wash your hair every day. I know that's so hard for so many people, but really your body knows how much it needs to give your hair. So like if you feel like, oh, I'm so oily by the end of the day, I need to wash my hair every day. Well, really your body is producing that oil because you're washing your hair every day. So if you skip the next day, you can wet it. I actually have like a routine that I've given to my clients over the years because they don't believe me. So I'm like, no, please just do this for 1 week and see what happens. So like you're shampooing on Monday. Tuesday, you can wet it in the shower and put maybe some conditioner on the ends if you need it, but don't shampoo it. And then on Wednesday, go through your shampoo cycle. And then on Thursday, see if you can just not even get it wet and see how you just need to have those couple of days for your body to be like, oh, I'm okay. I don't need to produce any oil. We're good. Like, she doesn't need me up there. So, and then ultimately what happens is that your body builds over time where you only need to wash it maybe every 3 days or every 2 days instead. And I mean, you just think of the time that saves your life, but it also saves your hair because your heat styling causes challenges and compromises hair. And like the shampoo is stripping out natural oil. So the simplistic is to skip your shampoo.
I know. Yeah, that was a hard one for me to sort of come to terms with. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, don't wash my hair every day. Like, that's disgusting.
It is huge.
Yeah, but it really does help. I mean, like, because I'm the type of person that, like you said, like by the end of the day, my hair is so oily. I'm like, oh my God, like I gotta like wash this. And so it was like really interesting for you to hear you say like, no, that's like, your body just sort of like readjusting.
Right, like right. Not, it just wants to. It thinks it needs to do that for you. But there's products on the market. There's from dry shampoo to micellar water that kind of help you get through. Because I know like, if you run or if you go to the gym, you feel like I have to wash my hair. But there's actually some non-shampoo products on the market that cleanse your hair without actually going through the process of wetting it, shampooing it, and cleaning it. So it helps you get through that one more day, even if you're a workout person.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Now you bring up some good points because like first you talked about using SPF every day. So is there sort of a minimum because the range is so much, I mean, from 15 to like 100. So what range should somebody be using every day?
I feel like it's very common to have like a 30 SPF. Like our makeup line that we use is Jane Iredale, and their actual foundation has like SPF in it. So it's already, and it's like there's between what you're using, there's like 15 to 30. But like, you know, there is a lot of conversation on the market saying that anything above 30 is still just kind of 30, you know, so they're not real, they're putting things that say 50 and 100, like you said, but really in essence, once you go above 30, they're not seeing a huge impact on the improvement of the SPF. So, you know, for daily wear, for your, even in the cloudy days of winter, putting SPF on is really important, but the number is less important as much as it is just making sure that you do it. Of course, if you're in the sun and you're on the beach, if you're enjoying some leisure time, reapplying is the same for your face as it would be if you were out when your back was showing, you know, that kind of thing. But just the act of putting it on 15, 30, that's pretty common in skincare to have in those numbers. And that's fine. You just want to reapply if you're in full exposure.
And now you also mentioned with the hair, to look for products that have protein in it. So what would somebody look for? Like what does protein mean?
So, you know, your hair is made of protein. And so I say to use protein. I mean, I really would recommend if you're feeling like your hair is like not right and it's lacking in luster and it doesn't seem to have the shine it used to. I mean, talk to your stylist because there are some ways for us to know like what your hair needs. But for protein specifically is more associated to your hair breaking or having multiple split ends. Okay. And to improve that challenge in your hair, you need to have a combination of protein and moisture, because if you just use something that's hyperprotonated, it actually could create more breakage because it's too much, So you need to balance it with the moisture. So when you're looking at a product, they usually, I mean, I haven't shopped in a non-salon for my products in probably 25 years, but I do know in like the mass market, you can read that it has like keratin or protein, but make sure it hasn't moisture. And it probably says it right on the bottle. I mean, ours do in the salon. So I'm assuming for consumers in general, it's going to have more descriptive words. But you don't want to do it too much, like, because protein can help you, but it also too much can be, you know, the converse. So if you're doing a protein mask, which are great, do it maybe once a week instead of multiple times, you know, so it gives your hair what it needs, but it also doesn't do it too much.
So we're looking for words like keratin.
It may even just say protein, to be honest. I mean, from the products that we've used over the years, it definitely could just very well simply say protein on it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So those are things to be on the lookout for. So that's great. So SPF, wear it. Anything is better than
absolutely
nothing, but really like 15 to 30 is the best. And then, you know, talk to your stylist to see like what's best for your hair, and then, you know, purchase the products accordingly for
absolutely
that. Now, you know, we're talking about things that people could do to benefit them, but what are some things that people should avoid doing, like, you know, the months or the weeks or the days leading up to their wedding?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this kind of coincides to what we were giving as advice as well, is like, try not to do anything super drastic, you know, leading up to your wedding. Like maybe you've seen a picture of this hair color that's just so gorgeous and it's a gold color for you, and you're like, I want that for my wedding. But it's so not what your typical hair looks like that it's just a big change. And the challenge with that is that when you make the change, you may not enjoy it on you as much as you did on your inspiration photo. And then that becomes a little bit of a challenge to get you back to your comfort level right before the wedding. It may, you know, so we try not to do anything that's big changes before your special day, so that we can, you know, again, enhance what you are without making a big change. But of course, after your wedding, have at it.
Yeah.
Try your fun hair color. But unless you're somebody that's like, you know, willing to do changes and you're okay with it, of course, that's your own personal decision. I just feel like in general, if you've always been a brunette, let's try not to be a blonde for your wedding, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing, you know, it's the same thing to do if you're going to cut your hair off, you know, anything drastic, I would just say, just do it the week after your wedding.
Yeah.
But the facials are so good for your skin, and in routinely doing facials up before your wedding is amazing, and I highly recommend it. But I wouldn't do a facial like right before your wedding. Facials, you know, it seems like, oh, I'm just washing my face, but it's actually a pretty intense, you know, cleaning process when you do a facial in a salon. And so if you do it right before the wedding, it can actually create your anything that's clogged in your pores to kind of release themselves, which is what you want the facial to do, is clean deep pores. So if they release after a facial, it's very common and totally normal, and it actually means the facial worked, but you don't want to have those, you know, issues right before your wedding because you've been working so hard to get your skin healthy. So try not to do a facial within, like, I mean, it could be like, I would do 2 weeks before your wedding instead of like the week of. So that's just something to consider for skincare purposes, to not do anything like, don't get a peel or, you know, anything really intense right before the wedding, because it does take time for your skin to heal after services like that.
And I have very sensitive skin, so I was very careful to avoid, you know, using any new products, trying anything new, because I knew if I had a reaction to it, I would just turn, you know, beet red, or, you know, I would have a serious reaction to it. So I had to be very careful with what I did. And definitely, like, you know, I would also maybe add to that, like, you know, watch for tan lines. don't be out sunning.
Yes. You know? That is so, I mean, depending on the time of year that you get married, you do want to be cognizant of that. You know, it's just all little things you don't really think of. I mean, because a tan line could happen like really up to 2 weeks before your wedding, and it may be challenging to blend out. So that's definitely something to keep in mind if you're a summer wedding person that has been exposed to the sun. But you should have your SPF, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Yes, definitely. And wear your SPF on your wedding day too, because if you have an outdoor wedding and you forget that, then, you know, that could you know, if you burn easily, that could cause some issues.
Yeah, that would make it later not on that so day. Fun later. Exactly.
Well, we're almost out of time. And what I always like to do with our guests is ask them fun five questions at the end of our interview, just to sort of get to know you lightning round. So if you're ready, I could start asking you some questions. All right. Awesome. So what was the last nice thing you did for someone outside of weddings?
So, you know, at the salon itself, we do so much for our community, but our most recent nice thing, I guess, would be that we donated our gloves to the local hospitals literally the day that we were closing for business before COVID started. So we had a client that was a nurse, and she was like, "Do you have any gloves?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And, you know, of course, in March, I thought we were closed for a week, but I was like, "Yeah, you can have my gloves. I'll order more in a week." But, you know, funny how hindsight's 2020. But yeah, so we helped them, those nurses out, because they had, you know, an unending need for those kind of things, surprisingly, for them. So we gave them our gloves.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. So when did your passion for hair and beauty begin? And did you know that you always wanted to open up your own salon?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I, even in middle school, I like gave my friends haircuts and I permed their hair because, you know, it was the '80s. So I, you know, we did perms back then. And I always wanted to own my own salon. Like, I just loved it. And it's funny because my mom cut my hair. so I really wasn't exposed to salons growing up. I did my own nails. Like, so to love this industry so much kind of just came innately because it wasn't something I was exposed to. But because I wanted to own my own salon, I wanted to go to college first and get my business degree. So I knew what I was doing. And then I truly thought I was going to get my cosmetology license and be a licensed owner. But in the end, I ended up getting hired to work in a salon doing human resources in business. And I kind of just stayed on the business side of it ever since. But yes, it was a very, like, really young. I was always playing with like makeup and shoes and painting nails. So it was something that I always loved.
Awesome. And props to your mom for cutting your hair, because moms wear so many hats. And actually, it's so funny because now, like, you know, my husband has asked me, like, to trim his hair a little bit because, you know, we can't get to the salon.
Yes.
So I mean, I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't, because like I'm sitting there with like a comb. I'm trying to remember. I'm like, okay, I know they take a comb and then they take the scissor and then they kind of like measure. And I'm sitting there like my hands shaking. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It's so funny because I don't take it for granted, but when I watch my team create, I'm always in awe and inspired by what they do. So, and it looks like so effortless, you know, they're like, oh, yeah. Whoever's sitting in my chair, I can execute from short to long. And then to have to do that, you know, you're like, well, what, how hard could it be? It's a clipper, it's a scissor, but it's, you know, it just gives, I hope that this challenge that we're in right now as a community makes it so that we have respect for the talent in the salon industry, because it really isn't as easy as it looks.
It definitely isn't. And I'm sitting there with a scissor and I'm like, now I know why all your scissors have that little like curly Q thing at the end, because you wrap it around your finger. And I'm like putting the scissors down then the comb. And then like I almost poked his eye out a couple of times. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
there could be some casualties when you have the scissors in your hair.
So what is something fun or interesting people may not know about you?
I'm super determined, and it could be described as like, you know, bullheaded a little and not very bendy, in that when I want something, I just want to be able to do it. And I want to prove to myself to do it. And I never want to live my life thinking, oh, I should have or could have. I'd rather try and fail than to wonder what it would be like. So I have done 2 duathlons and a half marathon, and I'm not like a sporty, like runny person, but I was like, I want to know that I can do it. I just want to prove to myself that I have the ability to do things I never thought I could. So like, I am a determined person that, you know, tries things and to see if I can achieve that goal, to prove that my body can do more than I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I really love that. That sounds like a really fun thing to do. Cause I don't know if I would have it in me to be like, oh yeah, I want to do a duathlon.
No, I didn't think I had it in me either, but it was a lot of work. I mean,
yeah,
because I mean, I don't run very fast. So like to do your runs, it takes like hours out of your life that you didn't think you had until you were like, oh no, I have to do this. So, yeah, it was a time investment, and I don't think I have endorphins. Like people say like, oh, you run and you feel so good. Like I'm an angry runner. I wasn't like, oh, that was amazing. So I don't think I have endorphins, but I still persisted and I got it done.
Yeah. That's awesome. What is one of your favorite hobbies or pastimes?
You know, I'm a pretty simple person. I like to garden. I like to like mow my lawn and do stuff around the house. But ultimately, I just like being home with my family. I like to go on hikes with them, or we've been going on drives and walks. And I just like the simplicity of enjoying the basics in life. I don't have a ton of like extracurricular activities. I mean, you know, basic everyday stuff, but like for me, my peace and my like best moments are just being in my space with my people.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I don't have hobbies or pastime. Like I just like you, like, I just like the simplicity of like, you know, just normal everyday life.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not an overscheduler in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that as I'm older, it comes to clarity, like that, just to spend time enjoying doing what you're doing. And it could be anything. Like I love to cook and I love to plan parties and like, that's like fun stuff, but it's just all simplicity. It's just all about being with family. So
nice. And our last question is, what is the best piece of wedding advice you have to any engaged couple?
Well, I think that you know, I always laugh, you know, in hindsight of having 2 kids and being married, is I feel like the general public feels that they can give you advice when you're pregnant and when you're getting married.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just really important to focus on what is it that makes you happy? What is it that you and your fiance discussed about what your wedding goal is? If you want to get married in the backyard with 12 people, but you're ending up creating some 500-person gala, that it's a, it's really, you know, then it becomes not about you, and then you're not centered. You don't enjoy the day. You're not eating your food. And I just think that it's really important to, at the end of every day during the planning process, be like, is this what's feeding my soul? Is this what I'm about for my wedding? You know, and then at the day of the wedding is to just eat your appetizer, have your dinner, yes. You know, and talk to everyone. And I respect that you need to give your respects to your guests, but I feel like you really want to connect with your newly husband or wife at that point and just really enjoy the moment and be in the moment. So you're not looking at pictures to tell you what your day was like, but you can relive it in your brain as well. So I just stay really true to yourself and let it be about what you wanted.
Yeah, I love that. And that's just like really great advice, you know, just to be in the moment and just, you know, especially on your wedding day, because there's so many moving parts and, you know, you're moving here, there and everywhere. And it's just take time to just, you know, be in the moment and enjoy it and eat your food.
Eat your food.
I remember my photographer said to me, he's like, my goal is to make sure that you eat your food.
And I was like, oh, thank you. I know. And it's funny because you're the planner of that menu and you're being so cognizant of making sure that you have, you know, food choices for your guests and what your favorites are. And then you find out they're like, I actually didn't eat my food. No, eat your food, sit down, enjoy, be in your moment, enjoy all of your planning and just, you know, celebrate, because that's really at the end of the day, you're leaving there with a spouse. So about that moment versus the gala of it. Unless, of course, that's what you want, then of course, make it a gala, but make it whatever it is that you're looking for and enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are out of time, but before I let you go, where can people find you? Where can people learn more?
Oh, perfect. So yeah, I mean, we have presence on the World Wide Web, so you can find our website is BellaLucciSalon.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. But our physical location is right in the heart of the city of Poughkeepsie. If Bar Devon is such an anchor building in the city, and we're right behind the Bar Devon, so kind of like visually, that's where we are for our physical space. But yeah, all of our information is on our website. So it's like you can get our phone number, our address, you can email us, and all right from the website. So it's the best place to go to get some more scoop about the salon.
Awesome. And I'll put all that information in our show notes for our listeners today. So Rebecca, I just want to thank you so much for your time and for being here and for all your amazing advice. And just thank you so much. And we'll chat soon.
Well, thanks for having me. It was so nice to chat.
So there you have it, my friends. Everything you need to know for picture-perfect wedding day hair and skin. If you've enjoyed this show, and if you know someone who could benefit hearing it, I'd love it if you could share it with them. Don't forget to subscribe, and if this show is really helping you tackle that overwhelming planning learning curve, please leave a comment and let others know how it's been helping you. As a reminder, if you have a topic or question you'd like covered on the show, definitely send it our way. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom, join us over at Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley at www.weddingconnectionshv.com. I'll be back next week with even more amazing wedding planning tips and advice. So until then, happy planning.